one of the things we have to realize is what God is doing in order to bring the change he keeps saying that he needs for the church to go forward. And so these blank walls are blank still. And this is October. Except for now, I know one of the things that need to be on these walls. It's called desperation. On Wednesday night, when we were here, God gave us a word about desperation. And it's so... It's not optional. It's optional if you want to be not the church. It's optional if you want to eke by and maybe make it into heaven. Then it's optional. But Jesus said this to us. He said, I'm desperate for your desperation. God is desperate for a people that are desperate for him. Let me say that again. God doesn't care about you visiting him. He doesn't care about you being occasionally aware of his presence. He doesn't care about you praising him because somebody's leading you to praise him, because praise without spirit-driven praise is words with music. The desperation that he has is for your heart to belong to him, completely his. He said, the longing to be near me as I long to be near you. Jesus came because of God's desperation. He came to fill the gap and make the bridge again to us, to the Father. And God was so desperate that he took his child and he let him be beaten and dishonored and disrobed and suffered in every way you could imagine someone suffering. And the Father watched it happen. How many of you want to give up your kid to that kind of abuse? Because he was abused for us. But it was the desperation of the Father that said, I am so desperate. I created these people to be my family. I want them to be one with me. I want them so badly that I'm going to give my son to be the bridge so that they can come running back to me and be one with me as I am one with him. Jesus didn't just die on that cross. The Father died too. He died through the Son to bring reparation. He had to give the thing that was the most valuable to him. Does that happen without suffering? Does that happen without your heart breaking? Do you know that the Godhead has feelings too? Do you know that their heart hurts and longs? Evidently, they're desperate for our desperation. You can't separate them. We try to put them in boxes. God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost. There is no separation. They feel. They love. They draw. They decide. He said, there's a meshing that's coming to the earth right now, and it's a meshing between the soul and the spirit so that they align with me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. He's talking about the church. So that the people who call themselves by my name, by those who call themselves Christian, he's so desperate right now that we get rid of our soulish realm, that we allow the spirit to take over our soul. we try so hard. God knows we've tried. God knows we try to be good. We try to get rid of things that we shouldn't have. We've had many services where this was the concentration. We repent, we repent, we repent. So why isn't it gone? Why are we slipping back into the things that displease him? Why is the distance allowed? Why are we not staying fixed to the cross and at his feet? Because we're not staying fixed at his feet. The Holy Spirit, and only him. Even if you're repenting because of emotion, if you're only repenting because someone brought words to you that made you feel bad about what you're doing, we call it spiritual. We think we're being the church. We think that's how it works. We do what we have to do to feel better in the moment. But if we are not broken in our heart because we've broken relationship with him, we're missing it. When we sin, we distance ourselves from him. When we accommodate the world, we distance ourselves just a little bit more until finally we are far away from him and further away than we thought we could be, because we still call ourselves Christians and we still show up in a box called a church. Well, I go to church. Well, good. Bring me that box, please. Both. So here's what we've done. I want to make sure everybody can see. So this box came to my house because I have a cat. Love my cat. I want to do right by my cat. I want to make sure my cat gets what my cat needs. She needs food. If I don't nourish her, she'll make sure I know it. And so I pay part of my life. I give my money to nourish my cat. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you have pets too, so shut up. And so I buy the expensive stuff. This is not cheap. This is called cat person food. You know why? Because this cat person has to pay a high price to try to get this cat to live longer, because I don't want her to die on me. Yeah, I know. Some people hear me. And so, you know, it comes. And so it came, and, you know, inside of this box was cat food. Food for the cats. Expensive food. Cost me. Inside of this box was also a bunch of packing material, because I can't afford to fit all of the food she needs. So they had to pack it with other stuff, because it's expensive, did I mention? And so, but when it says, when it came and I emptied it, it said this. This isn't just a box. This isn't just a church. This isn't just a four walls that we come into, and then we go, okay, I'm coming. I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to get what nourishment I can out of this place, because I need to make it through till next week when I show up for the people who are willing to pay the expense for me to have a place to accommodate. This isn't just a box, it said, and then it had instructions. It had instructions. You come here and you walk through the door and we open it up and there's instructions that you get. And you know why you get instructions? Because it's not just a box. It's a house. But it's not just a house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. It's not just a box. It's not just four walls so that we can come in and get nourished, or that we could come in and understand that it's not just a box. There's supposed to be inhabitants inside of this box. That's why they went to the lengths that they did, so that I would keep getting these boxes. And so we build this house, and inside there were things that needed to be removed in order to make room for the inhabitant. Oh boy. So you realize that this is a box. You realize that this is a box. This freaking thing is a box. I know, because we helped build these walls. We put down all of this stuff that looks nice because it did not look nice before we invested in the four walls of this house, and it cost us something. But what it cost us is nothing compared to what it cost the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because you know why we have this box? It's because this is supposed to be housing something more than one inhabitant. This is supposed to be the house that makes us understand that we are the house. Say, I am the house. Mm-hmm. This is just an outward manifestation, supposedly, of an inward work that has happened in our hearts, so that we understand that we are the temple that he paid the price for, so that he could come and be the habitation that lives on the inside, that drives us to act differently, to live differently, to see differently, to make room for other people. They can start coming. They can start coming into a box, but if they don't find you being the representative of Jesus Christ, there is nothing for them to see here. All they're going to see is four walls. Big deal. Costs a lot for these walls. $8,000 a month for walls to house people who are carrying the presence of God, if we're doing what's right. We come here to get nourished. We come here to get fed. We come here to learn. We are the representation of God. This is not a box. This isn't a box. We are the actual, we are called to be. The church is called to be the container of the presence of God that operates with him, so that he manifests himself on the outside of us, so that people will say, I don't know what that is, but I want it. And I need to apologize to you, because the desperation of my heart is what people always liked. The one thing that people said, the reason why I go to Liberty, Pastor Don, is you showed me how to love God. How many of you said that to me? Okay. So I ain't lying. And that's not to puff me up. That's just to saying I came into contact with a God that knew what I needed, that loved me enough to give it to him, that caused me to be desperate to have his love and to act differently than I ever acted before. Because the most important, if you want to know the scripture of my life, it is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know why? Because I feel forsaken on the regular. By people, by circumstances, by words that hurt. Oh, but not by him. Never by him. He will never leave me. Why did he say it a million times? Because I needed it a million times. Because it is the anchor to my soul, joining my spirit, meshing together. He's never leaving me. He's never forsaking me. That's why I love him so exponentially. The minute I get away from that and start feeling my emotions and letting my emotions rule me, I mean, maybe it's not just me. Then there's a distance between me and his heart. And slowly he eats away that desperation for him because we're so busy trying to be used by God. Oh, use me, use me, use me. Why? You know, without him being the desperation of our heart, we are useless anyway. We don't have anything valid to give. We can know scriptures. We can spit them out of our mouth. I mean, we've read, hopefully, if you come to Liberty, you read the Bible. You have it hidden in your heart. It can come out of your mouth. But what I have to say about that, without the Spirit being behind it, whoop-de-doo. There's a difference in saying words that are covered with spiritual activity because the Holy Spirit is revealing something through your mouth that you didn't even know before you started talking. And then the revelation comes to you and everyone else at the same time and you go, oh my, and you want to stop and say, I'm so stupid, I didn't know that till this very minute. Because it takes spirit revelation to have the revelation that you need that will set somebody else free from the freaking box. And we build boxes around our life for protection, and we have all different kinds of boxes. We've got the box that we think is acceptable for our life. Well, I don't know, in this box, there's all kinds of stuff. But then another box came. This is a different box. I'm like, what is going on with these people? I like the box, the house box. That was a nice box. I like going to the box. I think the box is cute. And that's where, come open there. Okay, so this box came. You know what it says on the inside? You know what it came with? Expensive cat food to nourish my cat. That's what it came with. Cost me something for it to come and arrive, you understand? And then I opened it up and it says, oh, this isn't just a box. I pulled out the food. It goes, this isn't just a box. And it had instructions in it. And it had a bunch of stuffing in it. Oh, I don't know. I had to pull the stuffing out. You ready for the stuffing? Unforgiveness. Pride. Anger, selfishness, demanding my own way, hatred, accusation. Are you getting the picture? Lack of humility, jealousy. Not being kind. We won't mention them and we'll just call it creepy stuff. Because this box was different than that box. If we are not careful and we are not willing to do it God's way, we will end up in four walls. And our heart will be four walls that we have built that we think is acceptable, and it's still not acceptable to God. Because you see, this box has holes. This is a box where you can get tripped up. This is a box where things can fall down inside there, and before you know it, there's another one. Because It was built for more than being a box. It's supposed to be how we produce ourselves before God. How desperate are we to live as though we are representing him, so that when Satan tries to shove his stuff down inside of where we live and where we have our habitation, that we don't resist him. We just let him keep, oh, well, that person's, I thought it was free, but you know, then that happened. Dang it. And you fall back into the trap. It isn't just a box. It's the box that you have allowed the enemy to have holes in, where he drops stuff that used to work for you. And don't think he won't come back to see if he can refill it, because he will, until there's no room at all for the habitation where God is supposed to be. Do you understand? Am I making this clear? Who knew my cat would come in so handy? He said to us on Wednesday, he said, I'm looking for those who are willing to kneel at my feet, that they're willing to hear what only the Spirit can reveal. When is the last time you went and laid on the floor and refused to leave until he said something to you of significance of how to live your life? What if you went there on purpose just to let him gut you? Do you know what that means? Jesus thought, the Father thought, you were so important that he was willing to give the life of his Son for you. We, the temple of the Holy Spirit, need to be willing to give him our life. That's not a, he didn't ask us to come and be comfortable. That's there. He didn't ask us to be comfortable. Come and be comfortable. Come and build a community so everybody will feel good about each other. We have a family. I'm glad we have a family. We have a great community at Liberty Life Center. We love each other. That is no joke. But are we desperate after him? Because it's not about how we can build this house. It's about how we can build this house. He said, he's meshing us on purpose because he's looking for those people that are willing to be at his feet and understand what they don't understand, that only the Spirit can reveal. So we come and we wait for somebody else's revelation to give us a revelation, because it's easier that way. Wow, okay. Because somebody has to pay the price to be at his feet to get a spirit revelation so that it can change anybody's life. Somebody does. Listen, it's not always me. I'm just saying somebody does. It's supposed to be me. Hopefully it is me. But I'm not the only one, because every single one of you are called to house the presence of God. And everywhere you go, you're supposed to be the answer for these people. And if we're not desperate for him, we're just flapping lips with sound. Like parrots who heard something once that somebody else got a revelation on, and we're repeating it. I mean, it's a great starter kit, but it's not how the house is supposed to be. You can learn from other people. I'm not trying to debate that or put that down. Thank God for people who pay the price. I'm just saying, if you're the part of the church of the living God, it's time to live for him. And you can only live for him if you're on your face crying out for him, and he means more for you than anything else, because you want his heart beating through yours, so that the stuff that people have, I don't want hatred in my heart anymore. I don't want unforgiveness anymore. I hate pride. I'm not going to compare myself with anybody else anymore. That's Satan's work. I can't house the full presence of God if I am carrying around garbage that has fallen through my present house. You are the house. You are the housing. This is where the Spirit, why he gave his son, is so the Holy Spirit could come and have all of you. All of you. For all of them. Because that's what he came for. Oh, but I want revival. God told us. We are so ridiculous. We get prophetic words. We're so spoiled in this church. We hear from God all the time. God speaks to us all the time. What did he say about revival? It starts with us. What do you think revival looks like? I'll tell you what revival looks like on a personal level. And you know what that feels like? Pain. It feels like dying to yourself in your own ways. It feels like being willing to give up your time for God. It feels like desperation that nothing else can get in between you and God, and you don't care what the cost is anymore. And if that means reconciling with people that you hate, well, then reconcile with somebody that you hate. Because you can't have hate in your heart or you won't be able to be a proper housing for the fullness of the Spirit. Oh yeah, you'll do something. We can get away with a lot, you know. God forgives. He's faithful to forgive. Every time we ask him to forgive us of the same sin, he's faithful. But how faithful are you? How desperate are you never to do that again? How desperate are you to not lead somebody down the path of unrighteousness for his name's sake? Because there's a path. There's a path of righteousness and there's a path of unrighteousness. And we're leading people somewhere. We call ourselves the church. He said, the deeds you have to have that you do have to be spirit inspired and spirit dealt, because without that, they won't be felt. Well, that's pretty clear. We can do all the good deeds in the world. I don't care. We could be multi-zillionaires and give all the money to the poor. But if we don't acknowledge him through it, and if it's not spirit led, it's a nice gift. It'll help people, but it's not helping you to house the Spirit of the living God. It's not helping other people to see that there's something different about your gift than somebody else's gift. I mean, Elon Musk is a giver. I heard him interviewed. He is not saved, by the way. He can give all of the gifts that he wants to give, and it is going to impact people and make their lives a little bit easier, but he is not leading them to eternal life because he doesn't have eternal life in him. Oh, but we need him in the kingdom. It's not for us to judge. It's for us to understand where he is and where he isn't. And that is the same thing we need to do for ourselves. We need to understand where we are and where we're not. And we have to be honest. And you know how you can't even be honest with yourself. We're fools. We're fools without him. But the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows what's going on the inside of you. He can identify stuff you don't even know is in there. But you have to give him permission, because you know what? He's a gentleman. He needs your permission in order for him to identify what is holding you back. You need to hate it, man. You need to grab a hold of what he shows you, and you need to say, this sin, you see the sin, Satan? I just want you to know right now, I'm never doing this again. You see that? I'm letting him identify this, But I'm telling you what, I used to just let you come back. I used to do this for a while. I'd throw it down, then I'd pick it back up because it's easier, because it's a pattern in my life. And it's easier to go back to your old patterns than it is to stand firm against it and hate it with all of your hatred. We can hate sin, we can hate Satan, and we cannot hate anything else. But we can hate what he's done to destroy our life and to be a bad example to everybody else. Well, I couldn't help it. I just slept. Yes, you can. You know that it takes unbuttoning your clothes to get into bed with somebody? You didn't slip into that. You don't think about unspiritual sexual activity unless you're listening to something or watching something with your just saying, maybe I need a couple more of these. There needs to be a fierceness for the things of the Spirit and for righteousness. And you need to be mad at the devil every time he tries to trip you up with something. He needs to stay under your feet. And the only way he'll stay under your feet if you stay on your face on the floor. Amen. Amen. There's no accommodating that. Do you know where we are in this time frame of history? Do you have any idea? If Jesus came today, how many of you would be happy to see his face and get your reward? I'll tell you what. I don't know if there's anybody in here, though. I mean, I know I'd go to heaven, thank God. But I don't know if I'd be happy with how many rewards I received. Because it's going to be burned through the fire. And some things aren't going to make it because I birthed them myself. I can be pretty good. I'm a good person. I think I'm nice. I mean, some people could argue that, but I haven't always been nice. But I'll tell you what. There have been things I've had to take and wad up and make a dedication to God. I am never doing that again. Desperation. Why? Because I want to prove a point so I can look better than somebody else? Please, that, you'll go right back to it. Okay, wrong motive. Here it is again. Crap. What am I going to do with this now? You have to hate it. And you have to hate it because you're desperate for him. You have to hate it because he deserves all the room in my habitation. That I'm not crowding him out. Imagine if you could see all of this. Sorry, the language, but it's true. Crap. All the crap that we have allowed the enemy to just stick inside of our heart and leave it there because we keep bringing it back and bringing it back and bringing it back. And we're like, okay, I got rid of it. Oh, whoops. Something happened and now it's there again. Because we're not letting the Spirit clean it out once and for all. This is no time. Church of the Living God. Church of the Living God. Last day church. Church that's going to have revival. Church that's going to represent God right. Oh, they're going to have some things. They're going to have some things that they used to have on the inside of them. But it is clear now. Because God's looking for somebody who will just let the Holy Spirit move through their heart and with compassion that he has for somebody that will represent him properly and that they will do it, not just when they have a mic around a bunch of Christians. Because this is the easy place. Right. Thank you for your amening. The hard place is out there when they're going to scoff and make fun of you and resist you with everything and where demons manifest. Because because there are demons that are manifesting everywhere in the realm of the world right now. And don't think he doesn't want to kill you too. He has come to kill you. Oh, if he can't kill you, then he'll steal from you. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your peace. He'll steal your functionality in the spirit. He don't care. Just so you don't be who God has called you to be. Just so you forget who you are and who he made you to be. I'm a lover of God. My whole mission in life is to make other people fall in love with God. Not to know about loving God. You can watch me. I love God. I'm a lover of God, but I am not a lover of God that is satisfied to be a lover of God. I have to be a desperate lover of God that wants more of him so that I represent him better, so that I can all over you, so that you end up loving him more today than you did the day before, because the very essence of God is moving through me in order to get that where it needs to be. There needs to be a fountain of love, and we can't even do it on ourselves. We can't do it by, he said that. He said, in the prophecy on Wednesday, I'm just using Wednesday because it's fresh. We have copies of it out there. People probably won't even pick it up. Well, I don't understand. We hear from God and we take it lightly. He said, you can't love unless you love like I do. He said, the love that, you need to reread things differently. You need to read it the way I want you to read it. And he said, go back to Corinthians and read it, because the way I love is the, it, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you're like, I can never live up to that. I can never live up to that kind of love, because it's hard stuff in there. Do you ever read 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient and kind. Well, that ought to leave a lot of this out right there. When's the last time you honked your horn? This morning. Okay. He said, reread it with these eyes. Reread it with this heart knowledge. Reread it that this is my love. God is describing his love to us. What? Love is large. His love is large. His love is large and incredibly patient. Well, hasn't he proved that to you? He is incredibly patient. What does that make you want to do when you hear that and you know it's how he loves you? Does that move you? Do you want to thank him? Because his love is so large and so incredibly patient that he didn't give up on us when we continued to take things back. Oh. See, this is what you cry on the floor. I want more of that. I want to have your character, God. I want to have a large love, and I want to be incredibly patient for other people that don't understand this. I don't want to think I'm better than them because I have been excavated by you. But please excavate me until I begin to really portray you on the earth. Please clean me out. His love is gentle. I don't know how many people have a problem with being gentle. I just will look at this sky so that no one can say I was looking at them. Love is gentle. Jesus was gentle. He stood for righteousness, but he was gentle. God is gentle and consistently kind. To all. Consistently kind to all. Oh my God. You mean I have to love a Republican or a Democrat? I got to be kind to these people? Because you know one of them is on the wrong side. say no more. I mean, let's make it real. Immediately, we have emotions when we think about somebody that thinks differently than we think. Oh boy, are we gonna fix it? We're the fix it people. Oh Lord Jesus, do you know how you fix it? And you are the fix it people. You are the fix it people. And you know how you fix it? You go out and you get so much love of God because you've been at his feet, pulling on his presence, pulling on his kindness, pulling on his goodness, pulling on his love until his love starts looking through you the way that it looks at you when you're with him. And you go out to them and you go, you know what? Could we just look at something that is better? Can we stop arguing? Could we stop trying to win our own fight here? And can we just get on the side of something that we can agree on? And then get them to agree on something. And after you keep making conversations that agree with something that both people can agree on, pretty soon their ears open up to something else that you have to say that may be very credible that they need to know so that it can go into their heart. But it is going nowhere if you don't have patience and kindness and love spread all around it so they can actually hear what you have to say. Because that's not the way God does things. God does not scream at people to get them to come into something that is more gentle and kind and better for them. The heart has to be for their benefit, not to prove a point, not to win your side of the argument. Everybody should have said amen. His kind of love refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. My God, why didn't he choose me for that? How come Danielle can sing like that and I sound like a cow? Why does Cindy get to have joy and we're still trying to have joy in the journey? Why? Because she worked at it. Because she conformed her heart when she didn't want to. Back there over in Arianjaya, she had to decide to have joy. That was a choice she made and fought for and won. Danielle doesn't sing like she used to sing. You know why Danielle sings the way she sings? It isn't just talent. I mean, thank God for talent. He gave her a gift. But that's not why it works. It works because she sits there desperate for God. She sits in the presence of God in her own home where nobody can hear her except for maybe Pharaoh on occasions. And she worships the one who deserves it all. She worships him in the beauty of his holiness. And she asks to be holy as he is holy. How do I know this? I know her since birth. You don't get to just sing to God. Well, you can, but it's not the same. It won't bring people to the presence of the Holy One unless you are crying out to the Holy One to bring his presence. She's not usually looking at anybody else. She's on the stage. She's looking to him because it's in her heart. What about us? Who are we looking to? Are we trying to get people to follow us or to follow him? What is this life about? What are Christians supposed to be like? Oh, I don't know. Maybe this. Refusing to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Why did that person get all the money and I'm still struggling? I don't know. Maybe you need a heart adjustment. Maybe not. Maybe Satan's just withholding your blessing. But whatever it is, your heart cannot be worried about what somebody else has or doesn't have. Your heart has to be. I want your heart to activate in me when it's the worst moment of my life, not when it's the best. I can love God so wonderfully when everything is great. It's amazing. He's so amazing. But can I love him with all of my heart, with the desperation that he deserves for me to conform to him when I absolutely am struggling with something and I am desperate to conform to his image? I have to be like you, Lord, and I don't care what it takes. And if I have to die 1,000 deaths, then please make it fast. Love doesn't brag about one's own achievements or inflate their own importance. Oh my God. God's love is God's love. He's not braggadocious about how, he does know who he is. I am God, and there is none like me. You need to know who you are. That's not saying don't know who you are. You're allowed to know who you are. You're supposed to know who you are. The reason why you act like that is you're trying to prove something to somebody. And that's because you don't know who you are, because you haven't had enough experience with him on the floor to find out who you are. Because if he is your satisfaction of who you are, you don't need somebody else's acceptance or approval. You just be who he made you to be. I'm a prophet. Period. And a pastor. Because he put me in an office. Not because I'm great. Because I said, what? And then I said, well, if that's what you call me to be, then I have to find out how to do it right. And then I went to Christian International and I let them torture me to death. For real. I took all those character teachings and went, oh, I don't want to be a prophet anymore. It sounded good. I'm just going to make wrong things right. Not until you're right. Then you're just going to do things wrong. Just like everybody else. But not there. Because they will call you out in a moment of time. I was there. They called me. So they put me on this. Okay, we're going to prophesy. I'm in charge of this line of people that's going to prophesy. And then we're going to do call outs. And we're going to call on people. And we're going to prophesy the word of the Lord to them. That was not a problem. It wasn't a problem. Because I understood I can hear from God. If you can hear from God, you can say what he said. It's not a big deal. It's what we're supposed to do. All can prophesy. So here I am. I've got my line. And then afterwards, we had to go in the back room with Bill Lackey, Prophet Bill Lackey, the trainer. And then he starts telling everybody what they did. And you had to sit there and be convicted and want to change, or you were just going to leave there a wounded prophet that is never going to do anything for God. So you can choose to be mad about what they said, or you could choose to conform to the image of God. So he says, Dawn, you excellent. You called on 3 people with all different genders. That's important. If you're a guy and you're only calling on women, you need to check your heart. He called somebody out for that. That's how I know. He said, buddy, here's your problem. He said, you're staying in line and you're preferring everyone else. There are 3 people. Come up here, Monty. Come up here, Nathan. Okay. Come with me. And so, you know, I'm supposed to be the head. I'm over here. I'm supposed to be in charge. But, you know, this is my line. And so So now it's their turn to prophesy. And so I step back and I let them prophesy. And Balaki goes, you better own who you are. I didn't tell you to step back and let them take your place. I told you to join teams, but you're leading. You don't get behind the people you're supposed to be leading so that you can help them forward. You lead. You go, this is the way you do it. And you lead them into it. And when you return, you still know who you are because God gave you an extra dose of anointing to be a prophet, and you can't just pretend that you're somebody that knows how to prophesy. And that's not to say I'm better than someone else. It's that you have to own who God made you to be without apology. And the minute that you start making everybody nice, they're everybody's equal. They did this in the past. They did this in the church body. Everybody took away their titles. Don't call me pastor anymore. Just call me Dawn. Well, I'm not telling you that ever. Don't call me Dawn. Maybe in a private conversation, you get the privilege of that. You better recognize the office that I stand in your life, or I'm not going to stand in the office in your life that you need me to. And so, thank you. It's okay. Both of them do it, so they're not in trouble. God is looking for the people that, and how did that work? Oh, I know. I had to go die. Because I was so afraid of operating in pride, I wasn't willing to take the position God wanted me to take. You know what that is? Fear. You know what that is? Refusal to be who God called you to be. You can't apologize for who you are. You can't quit being who you are to make everybody else feel better. I want everybody's gifts to come out in this church. I want them all to be seen and to be known and to be recognized. Whatever your call is, I want you to do that. And someday, I want you to be the lead. But I am the pastor of this church and I am the prophet of this church. Any questions? And so part of what happens to me is that I love people so much that I step back in order to let them come forward. But I'm not stepping back anymore. I'm stepping up. Amen. And you need to step up too, because whatever God has called you to be and do is what God's called you to be and do. And you do it with all of these attributes, or it doesn't count. Listen, if I'm just doing this so I can try to make people come under me and, you know, submit to my authority and, you know, all the rhetoric of the past that people hate, which is why people have attitudes, I just want you to know I couldn't do this if I didn't do that. And I haven't done this for a very long time because I need more of that. Because you can't stand in positional authority and release those kinds of words if you're trying to manipulate people. And I don't want you to follow me because I told you to. That isn't going to get anything done anyway. Not to brag about your own importance doesn't mean that you're not important. It means you don't brag about it. Jesus knows his identification. The Holy Ghost knows who he is. They never apologize for it either. Paul said, Paul, the apostle of God, called by him, follow me as I follow him. He wasn't bragging, but he sure was sure of who he was. And why do you have to say that? Say, well, why do you have to say that? That sounds so funny. Why do you have to say it? Paul had to say it. Sometimes you just have to say who you are. Because other people need to recognize who you are for their benefit, follow me as I follow him, because I'm going to represent him to you properly, and then you too can be conformed to the image of God. Look at all the people that Paul's life changed. He changed them from the inside out because he did what God asked him to do, and he died to himself over and over again. And so did Peter, and so did all of them, and so did the whole New Testament church, and so does this church, and the whole church of the world. That we are coming into a season where God is looking for clean vessels to float through with such power that if you're not careful, you're going to think you have something to do with it. We got nothing to do with it except surrender and obedience and care for someone else. Surrender, obedience, and care for someone else, because that's what love does. Oh, wow. Here we go. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. We don't traffic in shame either. Or selfishly seek its own honor. If I'm only trying to get you to honor me because that makes me feel good, then, you know. They used to have this thing at Christian International, and you had to sign up for it. Because they said, we're going to tell you everything. We're going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly about you, and you have to be ready to receive that. And like, a lot of people didn't sign up for that. You know why? You don't want to know what's ugly about you. We're trying to protect ourselves from people telling us what is wrong. We want people to only notice what is right, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. And I signed up because, and I'm still this way, and God knows that it's true, and so I'm not. I don't want to house things in my life that cause somebody else to go astray or to be hurt by it or to see character in me that doesn't please God so that they give up on following him. I mean, have I done that? Yes, I am human, you know. I've done all that stuff. I can't be proud of every minute of my life. I can't be proud of every minute of my life since I've been know that I was born to be a prophet or known that I was born to be a pastor of you people. I make mistakes all the time. I just hate them. And so I go in and they prophesy to me and told me all the good stuff that I already knew because I've heard it before. And, oh boy, that feels good. Except for I was spitting mad. You know why? You can only do this if you want to be better with God. Because I was desperate to get better. I was like, you told me you were going to tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. You didn't tell me nothing bad or nothing ugly. You just told me how wonderful I am. Great. I already knew that when I came in here. I know the greatness of God inside me. I don't know what to fix. So I went to Bishop Bill Hammond. I said, your people didn't do what you told them to do. He goes, what do you mean? And they only told me the good stuff. He goes, what? I said, you got to get them back in there and tell me what they saw, because I know that they saw something and I want to know what it is, because I'm not going to live with that on the inside of me, because I can't be the prophet that God's called me to be if I'm housing that. And he goes, nobody's ever done this before. I go, oh, well, I'm famous in hell. I didn't know that yet. And so he made them do it to their horror. They're like, how? They go, well, you know, when they did meet with me again, they go, we're really sorry that we didn't know how to say what we saw because, you know, we wanted to not hurt you by what we saw and we didn't know how to say it because, you know, we have rules around here that we're not trying to kill people. We're trying to build them up. And I'm like, yeah, but go ahead. And they're like, okay, well, we did talk to Bishop, and he gave us a way to say this to you, and so we're going to say it to you the way he taught us to, smart people that they are. And so he said it, and you know what it did? It cut like a knife on the inside of me until I thought I was going to die, and I walked out of there going, what in the world is wrong with you? Why did you ask for this punishment? Now I just want to die. And I'm like, do other people just see that all the time? What is going on? And I just was so hard on myself. I'm like, you stupid thing. And I felt bad the whole day. I mean, this was morning. After that, they were trying to train me, and I heard nothing except for, you're awful. This is terrible. This is a terrible report. You're right. I'm a horrible person. This is terrible. I cannot even imagine this in my life. I don't know what they're talking about. It hasn't happened yet, but it must be going to happen. Oh, it happened. But I was ready for it. As ready as you can get. But that night, the miraculous intervention of God happened. Not because I'm special, because I was desperate to be like Jesus. And they were just doing some worship song. Wasn't even good, just to be honest with you. It's just not even good. Didn't sound good. You're like, where's the talent? Oh, sure. Never tell them this. Okay. And so I'm like, wow. And then I just said, shut up. I'm just going to receive. I'm going to receive. And so they started singing about the blood of Jesus. Some spontaneous prophetic song. You know, there's different when it's a spontaneous prophetic song. And so the prophecy of the blood, like it was alive. And it just started pouring down over my head until it reached my heart. And all of a sudden, none of that mattered because I had reached what I really wanted. I wanted my heart to be changed to please him. And I needed to accept what was being said so that I could get ready for what was to come. Not knowing what it looked like, not knowing how it would occur, just get ready. God knows your future. He knows everything you're going to face, and he knows how you can win through whatever you're going to face. But if you don't give him the opportunity to prepare you for it because you're protecting your heart when it can't be protected anyway, except for by the blood, all of your little protective walls don't work in the moment. You cannot make this happen. Only God, can come and give you the protective parts of his heart when you need it the most. And when you need him to remind you of the truth of what he's promised, if you are desperate for him and if you've done the work at his feet, he will get you through whatever comes. Because he already made a way for you. But did you make a way for him? Because as long as we're holding on, Satan still has a key. We're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. But if we still have a holes, now we're not depending on four walls. We're depending on the temple that he's allowed to inhabit in every part of my being because I've gotten rid of the junk that held him back. What's he looking for? I'm desperate for you to be desperate for me. Not acquainted with me. Not a sometime casual friend. Not somebody you know about. Not somebody you know that somebody else knows. Not someone that you visit. Not, he doesn't want to be the person that you allow to have a part of you. He wants to own you. He paid the price to own you. He doesn't want, okay. If this is your heart, this came with a box, instructions. I could not have figured this out without the instructions, I'm just saying. And you can't either, because this is our instruction book, and we need to read it, and then maybe several times. So if your heart is supposed to be whole in every direction, and you're supposed to be looking like him in every way, then you can't be missing a part. So when he asks you to come and give him a part of your heart so that he can fix you, and you have to not allow Satan to take hold of all of the things. When God wants the wholeness of you, he does want this one little sliver of your heart. Here's your sliver. Here's the sliver. I want you to use me, God. Here's the sliver that I'm offering to you. I just want this much because this part doesn't cost me anything. I just want salvation. Just save me from eternal burning in hell. That'd be good. I'll give you that much of me, but don't ask me to be complete. Don't ask. If you ask me to give you what? You want me to have character like you? What? You want me to love like you? Okay, all right. I guess I'll have to love like you. Which you know I can't unless I get 1 Corinthians in my heart, which is really how you love, and I don't know how to do it without you. And God's going, oh, look, you're getting whole. You're representing me well. Oh, but now I want more of you. I want you to live a life of righteousness. What? But can I have my demon friends, the ones I like? You know, I'm used to them. They, you know, it's who I am. I want to be who I am. I can't help it if I'm the way I am. Yes, you can. Everybody can help the way you are. Get better. God didn't ask you for this so he could torture you. He asked you for your heart, all of it to be made whole so that you can operate at a different level with him so that you are complete in every way. No matter who looks at you, they're going to see wholeness. They're going to see the fullness of God. They're going to see the operation of the Spirit. They're going to be able to see, oh, she means what she says and she lives like what she talks about. Or he, or they. And God is like, this is what my church needs to look like. You can't give me a portion of your heart and think that's okay. I don't know if you know it, but Satan is alive. I don't know if you know, but the Antichrist is here. I don't know where he's at and I don't know what he looks like. I just know the Spirit is in operation. And if you don't know that, it's because you haven't been on the floor with him, because he knows it. And he's trying to warn everybody. We don't know if we have, I could get off on this, but they're trying to make Israel give back land. Yeah, they've had meetings about it. They think Israel's going to give back land to the Palestinians. I hope you know what that means. It means that revelation is happening. It means that if they will not. Israel, mark God's word in your heart. They will never give up that land without war. Never. And they shouldn't, because they are God's chosen people. And they are adamant enough that they will give their life to hold their territory. And God is looking for a people that will hold their territory and not give up their land no matter what the cost. And if that means giving your life, you give your life to the utmost degree so that his name will be glorified, because he chose us to be in Davie, Florida, and affect the surrounding areas and the world, because that is the call upon this church and these people. And you need to be just as adamant about it as I am. Because without it, we do not have unity. And without it, we'll never be what God called this church to be. And God is looking for those fighters, those desperate people that are willing to say, I don't care what it costs me. This is my land. This is my portion. This is where I'm standing. And if I have to stand, I never watched the movie 300 because it's horrible and gory. But Dave and Tirsa showed me the parts where the man was so adamant to fight, to take back territory. Impossible odds, but they won. And that's a true story. Impossible odds, but we win. And we don't have impossible odds because we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we also have 2/3 of the angels on our side. Satan's just like reeling around with broken angels. Broken, stupid angels. Okay, I'm almost done. Are you happy? They're like, please shut up today. Okay. Good, thank you. Okay. Good, because love is not easily irritated. Or quick to take offense. So just in case. Just in case it was building up to that. God wrote it. Oh, that's pretty funny, God. Okay, I love that. Okay, this is why we love the Bible. And he's right on time, isn't he? Oh, that was good. Okay. Love joyfully celebrates honesty. If this is not honest, I don't know what to tell you it is. This is as honest as I could be. Yeah. Okay. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Oh. The love? He said this is the kind of love he has for us. Wow. He celebrates our honesty. God celebrates your honesty with him. Isn't that amazing? When you're honest, he doesn't even care what you're being honest about. He's not like, you did that? He's like, oh, I can't believe you did that. God already knew you did it. He's just waiting for you to admit it. He celebrates your honesty, but he finds no delight in what is wrong. He's like, I'm glad you understand that. You're being honest before me now. What are you going to do about that? Because that is wrong. You want to be close to God? He's going to talk to you like that. He's going to rip your insides out and throw it on the floor. He's going to adjust some things. He's like, no, I'm tired of having wimpy people. Like people that can't stand for what is right. People who don't have a voice because they're ashamed of what they're doing in the dark. People who haven't gotten rid of all their stuff, so they sure don't want anybody to know about their stuff. Because if they know about their stuff, their voice doesn't have sound to it. It's like Charlie Brown, teachers. Yep. If you want to be a voice, be desperate to have his voice. Because if you don't have his voice, it's just a bunch of that noise. I don't want to have noise in my life anymore. Love is a safe place of shelter, though. And I love this. I love this because I love him because he loves us like this. Okay. It never stops believing the best for others. Oh, God. Now that's a Selah moment. Selah means think about that. Okay. You want to be close to God? Do you even know how to be close to God? So you read something like that and goes, love is a safe place of shelter, and it never stops believing the best for others. And then you just think about him. And you go, oh my God. You said you're my shelter. I can run into you and be safe. You're my shelter. You've been my shelter all along. Even when I didn't feel like I was being sheltered, you were my shelter. And you never failed me. And you don't have holes. You're solid. It's solid love. It's solid love, and I thank you for it, God. I thank you that you loved me that much. I thank you that you counted me worth it. I thank you, Lord, that you believed the best in me when no one else did. I thank you, Lord, that even when I failed you, you continued to forgive me and you continued to breathe life back into my lungs. You continue to utilize the gifts that you've given me, and I don't deserve any of them. And Lord, you know how many crooked places that I have, and yet you don't give up on straightening them up. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for the sacrifice of your son. And I want to thank you for being good. And I want to thank you for being kind. And I want to thank you for being honest, and I want to thank you for leading me to the place of repentance, and I want to thank you for healing my broken heart, and I want to thank you for building me up because you believe in what you've called me to do. Lord, you believe in me when no one else does, and I believe in you. If the whole world says you don't exist, you exist for me. And I'll never go to sleep without thanking you. And I'll never wake up without thanking you. And I'll never neglect being with you and giving you the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve, because you alone are worthy of it. You alone could pay the sacrifice that was needed. And you chose to be in relationship with me and with others, oh God. Oh God, I don't understand how you love, but I want to. I want you to eradicate everything that doesn't please you. I want to be like you, because they need someone to know what you're like, to know how you love, to feel your arms around them, Lord, to know you weep for them, to know you care for them, to know that you're not really mad at them. To know the kind of love that never stops loving. Oh, Lord, I just want to be with you. I need to be with you so that when I'm with them, they won't see me. They'll see you. Oh, Lord, help me to disappear. But help me to have the words of life. Help me to know what your word has to say. Help me to surrender everything I need to surrender. Oh God, make me a vessel of honor, not a vessel of abuse, not a vessel of convenience. Lord, change me from the inside out so that I can best represent you, Lord, because you are worth it all. You are worth it all. You are worth it all. You are the Jesus that I love. I love you, Jesus. You are the Father that I love you, Daddy. I love you. Thank you for being Daddy, God. Holy Spirit, what I do without you. I love you. I thank you for living inside of me. I thank you for revealing things to me that are so awesome about the Godhead. Let me know them. Let me know you. Let me work with you. Let me partner. Let me be your partner. awaken my soul to follow my spirit. Awaken my soul to align with the spirit. That's a start. Well, I didn't feel anything. Well, wasn't you praying? Love never takes failure as defeat. If you don't feel his presence in those moments, it doesn't mean he didn't hear you. It doesn't mean he wasn't present. He doesn't tell you to pray for nothing. He tells you to pray because it's effective. You don't have to have feelings to know that he heard you, and he will bring the moment to you from that prayer that will change you if you keep going. Or you can walk away like giving money to God. I tried that and it didn't work. Okay, which page would you like me to tear out today? He watches over his word to perform it. And if you cry out to him, he says, he will answer, here am I. That's our God. That's how he loves us. How do we love him? We love him enough that we never accept defeat and we never give up on him and his goodness and on his righteousness and on his kindness and on the way he loves us and the way that he wants us to love others. We never give up. And we never give up on the pursuit, because the pursuit is eternal. I don't know what you think you're going to do in heaven, but you're going to be pursuing God forever. And you know what? There's always going to be more of him to be had. Just always was, always will be, always present. We have one shot at this life. One shot. It's October. Yesterday it was January. We'll blink and it'll be Christmas. Because the Bible says this, your life is but a vapor. Only the things you do for eternity is going to count. And the seeds you sow into going after God's heart. Well, let me say that again. The seeds you sow in desperation going after his heart are the seeds that is going to produce the harvest for what he's bringing to the earth right now. But if you don't sow those seeds with desperation for him, they're flesh. We all have an agenda. Come on now. Until our agenda lines up with his agenda, what are we going to do? There are lives going to happen. All right, we just had a hurricane. I'm going to shut up in about 1 minute. We had a hurricane. We don't know how many hundreds of people died, but we're pretty sure there's more than what we know about right now. Where are those people? We were talking about that. Like, how many shelters are housing these people? Because we want a body count. But here's what we should be thinking. How many are in the eternal count? Out of all the people who died, say it was just 100. How many of you want 100 people to go to hell? On our watch. Because we didn't do anything about it. And God's like, he's getting riled up about that. Not riled up mad at you, riled up to rile you up. Okay, let's see if any of this makes sense. Okay. Yeah. kind of fun to do the impossible. And so these are all things I hang in my house. You know why? Write the vision and make it plain. How are we going to reach that? We love because he first loved us. This was a present to me because somebody actually believes in. Look at that. It lights up from the inside. From the inside out, we love. Because he loved us from the inside out. Isn't that pretty? Thank you for that gift. Okay. God knows the journey you need to take before you do. Yeah. Hello, 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 hello. You think you know your journey, but you don't. You're somewhere in the journey, but where are you in that journey? Okay? But here's the good news. Ba-da-da-da. The best is yet to come. You know why? Because he deposited all that good stuff inside of you, and he loved you enough to make you able to love like he loves, and there is somebody waiting on you, and today is just a wake-up call to awaken all the gifts and all the love that God already has for you to pour out into somebody else, and the best is yet to come, because revival is on its way, because we are having revival in ourselves, because we're giving up all the old stuff, and we're buying the new. And we are not going to stay a small church because we cannot frustrate God anymore by saying, where are the people that they reached and why don't they think they're worth getting discipled? I'll just stop with that. Hallelujah! Because there's a remnant of people who believe in what God is saying and what God has said and what God is doing. And they are going to push themselves into the future with him. Because they are not going to hear another life-changing sermon that they think changed their life without the Spirit backing it. And we are not going to come in here and worship for so many minutes and have announcements for so many minutes and hear the preacher for so many minutes, whoever the preacher may be, and go home unchanged, because we are a desperate people that are desperate to be desperate for him like he is desperate for us. And I announce that and proclaim it and prophesy it to all of you today. You are going to be in a different place next week than you were today. Tomorrow there's going to be an impact. Prayer on the floor makes the difference. Prayer at your seat, whatever, has to rip your heart open until you are honest before him. Your honesty before God moves him. Amen. We're not going to have patty cake prayers, patty cake praise. You need to be involved with God and the Holy Ghost. And it is the only way that revival is going to come to this land. But this is our land. And these are our people. And this is our territory. And this is our responsibility. And we are going to rise up with those who will rise up with us. And we are going to be one. And we are taking this land for Jesus Christ. Because he's coming. And he's coming soon. And I'm taking people with me. Amen. Okay. Nah, see, I'm done. But how can I be done until we do something? Okay. All right. So, I don't know. Take a Kleenex. Because I can't hand out all these papers. Besides, I have to use one. Okay. Take a Kleenex in your hand. We have Kleenexes in this church for many reasons. This will be our prophetic action today. Okay, so this is what God this is what God said. He said, I'm looking for a desperate people that are desperate for me like I'm desperate for them. So what this represents is something that has kept you from that representation. You have to be desperate in whatever this is. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, maybe it's just lack of time you haven't given him. You don't have to be totally evil to have a problem. You know, you can just be neglectful. Not trying to nail you, you know what I'm saying? So, but maybe you have chosen your time to do other things other than be desperate for him first. I mean, you know, we all have the same amount of hours in the day. So whatever this is, it could be evil. I mean, maybe you're evil. I don't know. I don't want to know right now. Don't tell me, God. Please don't tell me right now. Okay, don't want to know. Don't want to know. Tell me later. Okay, so whatever this is, whatever it is that you need to get rid of to make more room for him, no more holes, no more nothing. We're going to be the house he can use. This is our heart. We're going to clean it out. No more debris. No more debris. Okay? Take your debris. Okay. Now you have to mean it, or it's just going to be words with your mouth moving. But if you mean it, this can change your life. Father God, I am desperate for you. And I am desperate for your heart to beat through mine. You've been looking for me. And today I announce I am here for you. And so this has been located in my life as something that you are not pleased with. And I hate it because it's keeping me from more of you. So today, I make a choice. And this thing doesn't get to hold me back anymore. And it also is not going to get picked back up. Because I am desperate to know your love and to be a carrier of it. So I throw it down. And I say, Satan, you do not get to have that place in my life anymore. You have been exposed and you are defeated. And I am victorious because I have given it to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, everybody should feel lighter. Everybody should be happy. Everybody should have more joy. Everybody should be running around going, hallelujah. The desperation part works. God asked for it. I gave it to him. And now he's mine. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive in my heart. He's alive in my life. Lord, I love you. 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 Hallelujah. More room to love. More room to love. More room to love. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! All right. Wow. Okay. So, they always yell at me because I forget this. We need to take up an offering to God. Because part of what he asked for is a piece of our life that is hard to give. You guys were generous to Liberty last week because Bishop carries that anointing and we came alive to the truth of seed time and harvest concerning our money. Praise God for that. But we can't miss an opportunity for us to continue. When God sets us free of something and he brings life to something like today and like last week, we've got to continue to keep it going on. Now, I know a lot of you give on your phones. I do too, but I also mail it in, so I don't have to tell you. You can give it to people who have it to give, but, and I don't know what, like I give every week, even if I've already gave online, because I feel like I just need to keep doing it. Because it keeps things moving forward. You know what I'm saying? So I do easy tithe every week. But anyway, you don't care about that. I don't care. I'm just telling you, keep it going. Okay, so I keep giving. I'm giving to the building fund. And I don't mean the building fund. I mean you are the building that I'm funding. And so I'm giving to build. I'm not giving to destroy. So if you are giving, put it in the offering plate. Or if you give online, just lift your phones or whatever your device is, because I know, or your tithe, whatever it is, because we need to give it to the Lord, and we need to do it as seed time and harvest, right? Okay, you ready? Father God, I thank you that you have spoken to me today. And I am putting an exclamation point on what you did by sowing seed into this house from this house because it gives honor to you. And God, you said that you would pour out a blessing that I wouldn't even be able to contain. And I really want that, God. And I'm dedicated to helping others with the overflow of the word for salvation and for their personal needs. And I thank you for the answer and the harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So finish your giving. If I could find mine, that'd be good. Glasses would be helpful. Okay, where'd you go? You know, I did that thing where people go, you need to put all your stuff in one little icon because it'll be easier for you. Seriously? Now I just hunt all over my phone for the little bitty things that are hiding somewhere in that box. You do that too? I'm like, I don't get it. I just made it worse. But anyway, okay. Thank you, Jesus, for the harvest. All right. I'm going to find this and I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm not going to find it, but I will do it because I don't see it. All right. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? Jesus. And who loves them the most? So you better go be the vessel of honor that he's chosen you to be and go tell somebody, give something to somebody, answer a prayer need, be the body of Christ, and be whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.